Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. What a blessing to come out here to the house of God and hear such good words of instruction. Lord certainly blessed Brother Joe with some light, as he said, and I love seeing the Lord working in the matter. Just last night, we were trying to study the scriptures with our children, and we were talking about the whole armor of God. We actually gave them some homework. Go and draw a picture of that, what it looks like. And certainly, if there was a more timely message this morning, I don't know what it would be. We need, right now, to be putting on the whole armor of God, because we're under attack on a daily basis by our enemy, the devil. And the sad thing to me, what's going on in our country, is people who think that they are independent and on their own are really under the spell and the deceit and the snare of the devil. They think that they're doing what they want to do, but they're really doing what he wants them to do. And God forbid we as God's people do what the devil would want us to do. We're here to serve the Lord, and may we seek to please him above all others. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I'd like to read a few verses to you here in the 19th chapter of Luke, when Jesus had come into Jerusalem. It says, and when he was come near, this is verse 41 of Luke 19. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, in this account that we've just read to you, Brother Joe said we are a soldier of Jesus Christ, and that's exactly right. And he is our captain. And as our captain, we should follow our leader. And, we see our leader coming to the city of Jerusalem, looking at it and weeping. Great sadness that he had for what he saw in this city. And I believe that the Bible's not out of date. If we look around, if you're like me, you have great sadness for what we're seeing. You know, we see on the news that monuments are being pulled down and a lot of rioting taking place. And I'm not real happy about that. I'm not real happy with the people who are doing it. But who I need to take out my anger against is the devil, who is come and having a field day, it seems. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 16, it talks about the problem that the city of Sodom had. Sodom had three things that it describes there at the end of Ezekiel 16. It said they had pride. We haven't heard about that lately, have we? Fullness of bread, we've had plenty to eat, and abundance of idleness. Now, if you have time to be rioting in the streets for weeks on end, then you've got a lot of time on your hand. You're not working, and you know unemployment's up, and coronavirus. I mean, we just seem like we've got the exact same problems. And you know what happened to the city of Sodom? God rained down fire and brimstone on them. Well, Jesus comes and looks at Jerusalem, and he weeps, and then he tells about coming judgment upon that city. Now, There's something he says here in verse 41 that I'd really like to focus on this morning, because if you're like me, there's one thing that you really like to have right now, and he describes it here in verse 41. He says, if thou hadst known, he's talking to the city of Jerusalem. If you had known, you know, ignorance is a dangerous thing. Not knowing something, not knowing what we ought to know. In fact, in, I think, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul prays, his prayer and his heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Saved from what? That's a good question to ask. You read about salvation in the Bible. That they might be saved. He says, for they being ignorant, that means lacking knowledge, of God's righteousness have gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, Brother Joe mentioned the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness is not much of a breastplate. But God's righteousness is a great breastplate. You know, wearing Kevlar vests and all the things that a soldier wears for protection. If you want to have that kind of protection around your heart and around the things that are important in your life, you need to be armed with God's righteousness as your breastplate. He says, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day. You know, sometimes we get caught up in what happened in the past and why did they do this in the past and all that. You know, we can't change the past. Well, I don't remember where I was hearing it recently, but there was three thieves. I don't remember exactly where I heard this, that there are three thieves that we deal with. The things of the regrets of the past, the concern for the future, and the problems in the present. And they rob you of your present joy. And he says, if thou in this, not the only thing that we have control over, what is going on in our day? What's going on in the present time? He says, if you'd have known this in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. That's the expression we'd like to look at for just a few moments. The things which belong unto your peace. You know, we have enjoyed great peace in this country. In fact, I would say in Jesus' day, it was worse than it is today. Today, we enjoy great religious freedom, but I'm concerned that the time may be running out for that. We've enjoyed great peace. There's coming a time when what you and I believe and teach straight from the Word of God is going to be declared hate speech, and they're going to try to silence us for it. But Jesus looked at Jerusalem and said, you don't know the things which belong unto your peace. You know, there's a place where things belong. We try to teach our children this when it comes to putting your toys away. And they say, well, I don't know where this goes. I say, well, I've got a good place for it. You don't know where something goes. I've got a good place for it. It won't be here anymore. Things have a place where they belong. If they don't have a place where they belong, then it's time to get rid of it. You know, we've been moving my mom, and she's got a lot of things she's collected through the years, but she's downsized to a smaller place. And so the time has come to start to filter out what we keep and what we don't. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you've got an attachment to everything. What do you do? She said, well, I already have a storage shed. Maybe I need to get another one. No, we don't need two storage sheds. Things need to have a place where they belong. What are the things that belong unto your peace? Let's consider that thought for the time that we have this morning. What are, if we are wanting to have peace, you know, Brother Joe mentioned we are soldiers. When I was in the Air Force, we had a quote that we memorized, and it was from an old soldier years ago. And it says this, every soldier worth his salt should be anti-war. Yet still, there are things worth fighting for. A soldier is laboring for peace. Peace is what a soldier wants. Because when you achieve peace, you get to go back home. I remember when we were fighting in World War II, there were two atomic bombs that we dropped on Japan. And you know what those things brought? Peace. Now we think, well, what does it take to achieve peace? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes victory. If you're going to have peace, you've got to have victory. In fact, when I was in the Air Force and we had bombs and they were big, we called them peacemakers. you would have these bombs that you dropped so that you could get peace. You're trying to get the enemy to quit. You want peace, the enemy's got to quit. You need to make sure you're not making peace with the wrong ones. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 6, God gets angry at the prophets because they were healing the hurt. This is Jeremiah 6:14. He says, they've healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Don't declare that there's peace when there's really not peace. The only true peace you will ever have in this life comes from the Prince of Peace. Here in the Church of God, if you are blessed with peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is the author of peace in the churches. If you have peace in the church, God gave you the peace. If you want to have peace in this land, I'll tell you where you need to turn. You need to turn back to God. God is the author of peace. We want peace in this land. We need the protection of God. God is the author of peace. In fact, turn me to Leviticus chapter 26, and I'd like to get very specific about what we mean. I want to give you the step-by-step instructions that we need if we want peace. Because I want that. In fact, Brother Joe mentioned praying. And in fact, we're to pray as God's people, to be a praying people. We're to pray for the Lord's help. And if there's ever a time we need to pray for this country, I feel it's now. We are in difficult straits. But I want you to notice what it says here in Leviticus chapter 26. And in fact, if you go to verse 6, he says, and I will give peace in the land. Now, whatever he told us before that, this is the results. If you want what he says in verse 6, I'll give you peace in the land, then let's go back and start in verse 1. God says, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. First step, no idolatry. You don't worship or serve anyone else than God. You say, oh, well, we're okay with that, Brother James. We don't have any images. Well, I would say when it comes to whether you are worshiping and serving the Lord only, you know, over in Revelation chapter 1, God declares, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, I want you to stop and think for a moment in your life. What is it in your life that you could not do without and continue living? If God is your Alpha and your Omega, then He would be the one thing. But if you say, well, I got to have my job. Oh, well, I got to have my children. Well, I got to have this. I got to have that. Or life isn't worth living. Then you put something else in the way of where God belongs. I'll tell you, in this nation in which we live, we do have an idolatry problem. It may not be in a great big image that people bow down and worship, but we have an idolatry problem. And we've got to return back to God as our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning, our end, where we start in the morning, where we end the day, is with God and no one else. He says, for I am the Lord your God. This is the authority by which He comes. There's no higher authority. Verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You know, people aren't going to church like they ought to. They're not reading God's Word like they once did. Things have changed and we're going the wrong direction in this case. And I'll tell you, when you think about how the Lord has been protection to us, Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, He says, I will be a wall of fire round about you. You know, walls are not popular in this country to talk about. I understand, but I'll tell you, walls bring protection. And I'll tell you, God says, I will be a wall of fire round about you. Whether you have a wall or not, God says, I'll be your wall. I'll be your defense. I'll be your protection. You want to have peace, you need a good defense. Like Brother Joe mentioned, the whole armor of God, that's defensive. All that armor is defensive. Well, I'll tell you, God will defend you. God will protect you. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha had the whole Syrian army coming down on him. And his servant says, Master, what shall we do? And Elisha says, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You know, we may stop and think, you know, we're just a minority here. We're just struggling. What can we really do? I'm telling you this morning, there are more with you than there are with them. He said he prayed the Lord, open his servant's eyes so he might see. And he looked and he saw the whole mountain was full of chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'll tell you, he had a protection there that no army could withstand. I'll tell you, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we have a protection that this world cannot afford. Don't put your strength in our military. Don't put your strength in our economy. Don't put your strength in all those things. We got something far better than that. Far stronger than that. He tells us in Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that feareth him and delivereth them. I tell you, that's what the protection we have. If you want to have peace and you want to have a strong defense, the Lord is your refuge and your strength. He told Abraham in Genesis 15, 1, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Why would we not serve him? Why would we not keep his Sabbath? You know, the Old Testament, they worshiped the Lord on the last day of the week, day number 7, Saturday these days. And they did that to go back and remember creation, where God worked 6 days in creating this world and rested on the 7th day. But we don't do that now. Why? Why do we worship the Lord on Sunday instead of Saturday? Because when Jesus came out of that grave on the first day of the week, there's something that we remember when we come here each time that we meet. On the first day of the week, this became the Lord's day. The first day of the week is His day. It belongs to Him. He came out of the tomb, and we come here and we serve a living Savior. You want to talk about a defensive God that we serve? We serve a living Savior who is ruling and reigning on His throne. He's still on His throne even today. Keep His, he reverence His sanctuary. Come. Verse 3. He says, If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now he says for us to walk in His statutes, keep His commandments and do them. I find in the world in which we're living, that we're not doing this very well. And maybe me personally, I'm not doing it very well. You know, he tells us several things that are right and what's wrong. He tells us what's right and what's wrong. Well, in this world in which we live, we're trying to redefine that. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, that's true for me, it may not be true for you. That's my truth, it just may not be your truth. The Bible don't teach about multiple truths, it teaches about one truth. Well, in fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one. There is no half-truth here, half-truth there. There's only one truth. And we come, we need to walk in His statutes, keep His commandments, and do them. This is all our responsibility. Verse 4, Then I will give you rain in due season, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Verse 5, And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. You know, when I was working for the government, there was a thing that was very important to them, and that was safety. We had safety meetings. We had I worked in an office, and we're grown people, and they had to tell us about tripping hazards and a cord across the ground and all. They were worried about safety. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to have safety, Lord is the source of peace and safety. You'll dwell in the land safely. Verse 6, And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about when the Lord is protecting you. You know, over in Psalm, I believe it's 127, he said, He that keepeth you shall not slumber or sleep. The one who's watching over you, he's not going to fall asleep. I remember when I was in survival training in the Air Force, we had to go out and come to this certain spot at a certain time, but we got there a few hours early. And several of us got there, and we weren't supposed to group and congregate. And so they decided, well, we're just going to lay here and sleep and wait. This is the middle of the night. We were supposed to get there at 7. And they said, we're just going to lay here and sleep and just have someone watch for us. That way we don't get caught. And they said, and Conley, you're first. Well, I sat there and I watched for a while. And I finally got the thought, you know, we've got a pretty good hiding spot. No one's going to find us. And I went to sleep. The next thing we knew, flashlights were all around us and we had gotten caught. And they wondered, who stopped watching? Who was the one that... Oh, man, that was me. You should have woke us up if you were tired. I wasn't tired. I just thought it was all right. Anyway, the Lord who's keeping you, He'll not slumber. He'll not sleep. You don't have to worry about the protection falling apart when the Lord is the one who is keeping you. If you don't turn me to Philippians chapter 4, there is a thought that is mentioned here that when I think about what Jesus says, the things that belong unto your peace. You know, over in Psalm 122, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You and I need to pray for the peace of our country. Pray for the peace of our church. Pray for the peace of our members. In Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what should be ruling inside of you? It's the peace of God. How do we do that? How do we let the peace of God rule in our heart? You know, that has the idea that in your heart, what is king is peace. The peace of God is the king in your heart. Being a peaceful person amongst a riotous society. You know, as Brother Joe was mentioning that that people who are opposing themselves. You can sit there and watch on the news what people are saying and what they're doing, and they're actually in opposition of their own selves. You know, when they falsely accused Jesus, they brought witnesses that were false witnesses. And you know what those witnesses would do? They would actually oppose each other. They weren't bringing a true and a right witness. They were actually against each other in the story that they were telling. Well, how do we keep from that happening to us? Philippians 4, verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to be in that condition. What about you? I'd like to have peace in my heart, peace in my mind. I'd like to have peace all around me, all the time. How do we do that? How do we get there from here? Well, let's back up because he starts this verse with and. And he says this in verse 4. Y'all remember Brother Sam preaching for us on Wednesday night? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You know, you and I should go through this life basically singing. Singing, you know that song we sang, Victory in Jesus. That we can sing all day long, every day, all day, because we know how this story ends. We don't have to worry or wonder. We can rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what's happening, no matter what circumstance you have in life, you have something about God to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord always. In all times, in all circumstances, you rejoice in the Lord. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means you're not given to extremes. You know, the devil operates in extremes. And what's going on in our country, unfortunately, is a culture war started. And what the devil likes to do is he likes to sow discord between people. And he'll get this group to go into this ditch. And this group will get so mad, they'll go into the other ditch to fight them. And then you have a war. And the devil started it all. Now, if you're going to be a person of moderation, that means you stay right there on the road. You stay right there in the balance that God has given to us. That this side is not doing this right. This side is not doing that right. And you see the hypocrisy for what it is. You see the devil and his forces for what they are. Moderation. Rejoice in the Lord. Your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word careful, full of care, means worrying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Instead of worrying, you go to praying. You pray for peace. You pray for the Lord to step in. You know, we've turned our back on God in this country. We've driven Him out of the schools. We've driven Him out of this place and that place. And you know, what comes with that is if God says, all right, I'm leaving, then you lose the defense that He was providing. You realize that what you are missing, that the peace that we had, people are wondering, why are people pulling guns and going and shooting here? Why is this happening here? This happening here? Well, we did have someone that was protecting us from all of that, and we've turned our back on Him. Instead, we should be praying to God always with thanksgiving. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Perfect peace is where the Lord keeps those whose minds are stayed on Him. And those who come to the Lord in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, we always have something to thank God for. I'm reminded of the time when Daniel was told that no one could pray to anyone else for a whole month except for the king. And Daniel heard the news, went back home, opened his window towards Jerusalem, got down on his knees, and gave thanks. Even in the midst of all that bad news, all the things that were going on, he still got on his knees and gave thanks. You realize this morning we have so much to thank God for. We are still so blessed beyond what we deserve. Our blessings from God that He gives to us, we don't deserve them. But I'm going to tell you, if you do these three things, I believe that Leviticus 26 teaches how we as a society can have peace. And so much more could be said about that. But here in Philippians 4, this is personal. This is how you, as a personal child of God, you follow these three things in verses 4, 5, and 6. And verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You don't even understand. You don't even understand how everyone else is falling apart and you still have peace. How is that happening? Everyone is going crazy, but you still have peace. It's because God, the Prince of Peace, is keeping your hearts and minds and carrying you through it all. I tell you, my prayer to God for you is that you'd have peace. That was the way Jesus left this world. He prayed that His people might have peace. And certainly we stand in need of that peace this morning. And we're thankful that the Prince of Peace has made peace. And may we be found being peacemakers ourselves. I thank you for your good attention this morning.